Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions of this show do not reflect the views and opinions of Wikicuriosity Media or its affiliates.
Hold on.
Wikicuriosity Media, changing the world you listen to. Any music featured on Wikicuriosity Media programs is used with the express written consent of the artist, owner, or distributor.
Coming to you live from the Wikicuriosity Studios in Knoxville, Tennessee, it's Behind the Screen Radio Show.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of The Cinephiles. I am Dan.
And I'm Alex.
And you can join us. All you got to do is call in 718-664-9735. Again, 718-664-9735, and that will bring you into the studio. You can also hit us up on our live chat on twitch.com. Sorry, for some reason my phone is going crazy. On Twitch at Wikicuriosity Media, you can also hit us up on Facebook. Just find us under... I'm sorry. I'm getting distracted. You can also hit us up on Facebook at Behind the Screen Radio Show. And Wikicuriosity Media, give us a like, share, and follow. Also, you can hit us up on YouTube at Wikicuriosity Media. Hit us up on... All right, so many things going on. I don't even know what's going on with my phone or anything else right now. Okay, yeah. Find all of our archive shows on blogtalkradio.com/Wikicuriosity Media and on... iTunes. Hit up our YouTube channel with Curiosity Media. Yeah, that was...
It's a very difficult intro.
That was. Phone just started going crazy. Like, I got a message, and I was trying to mute it and find out what was going on and then respond. And then it just kept... Because we're on the video chat, and
yeah.
It keeps with that unmute thing and all that bullshit, and... And that just kept dinging and dinging and dinging, and I'm just like, shut up. Okay. All right, let me. Oh, my God, shut up. We're going to go ahead and do this. Do-do-do-do. Okay, there we go. All right, I'm back. I'm sorry. Okay, anyway. Today is Wednesday, the 25th of May. It is a kind of a special day for a lot of people.
Sure.
I would say
sure.
It is. Yeah. Today marks the 45th anniversary of the release of Star Wars to theaters. 45 years ago today, Star Wars was released to theaters nationwide. And, you know, a lot of executives, a lot of studios and stuff like that were saying that, oh, this is going to be the biggest flop. Nobody's going to ever watch it. Nobody's going to give a shit. And Fox, 20th Century Fox, were really the only ones, Alan Ladd, actually, was really the only one that believed in George Lucas. I was like, it could be worth something. And it has become the most popular franchise in the world.
Yeah.
Like, literally. I mean, you talk about printed media, books, comic books, graphic novels, encyclopedias, stuff like that. You look at video games, movies, TV shows, merchandise, just everything. There's probably not a product out there that has not been licensed by Star Wars over the past 45 years at some point in time.
Yeah. There's been a lot of Star Wars advertising, merchandising. It's pretty hard to go your whole life without knowing of Star Wars. Like, you can go your whole life without watching Star Wars or being a fan of Star Wars. But going your whole life without just hearing it once or seeing it once, you might not know what it was, but you've definitely seen it.
Oh yeah, I mean, you've seen it in the stores. You had to have.
Unless you're a very primitive person since the 1970s.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, I guess
you've heard of Star Wars.
There are probably, you know, the younger generation that hasn't seen Star Wars, has no interest in Star Wars, whatever. They're a bunch of losers. You still know what it is. Unless you live in an undeveloped country, you have at least seen something with having to do with Star Wars, even if it's a knockoff. You know, even if it's a knockoff movie, which there have been tons of you know, like, foreign knockoff Star Wars movies that literally take the script and are like, okay, so this is how they did it. We're going to do something very, very similar, but slightly different so that we don't get sued and nobody cares about us.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, Star Wars has had such an impact on every aspect of our culture. And, you know, how we make movies, how we do movies and stuff like that. You know, that it's hard to not know, you know, Star Wars was such, has been such an influence in every aspect of every type of media. You know, I mean, it is such a huge part of our culture.
Yeah. Who knows what might have happened if it wasn't made? I don't know, maybe I would have Star Trek memorabilia instead of Star Wars. But
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Star Trek is cool. Star Trek is just as cool as Star Wars. I mean,
okay. I won't argue fandoms.
No, we don't argue
just
fandoms here.
One is making billions of dollars, whether it's good or bad, and the other
is making
not so much.
Millions of dollars, whether it's good or bad. I mean, it's, you know, it's two sides of the same coin. You know, I mean, we look at the bad Star Trek movies; they still made millions. They still surpassed what they were supposed to make at the box office. So we know it's not as influential as Star Wars, obviously. But, you know, it was a big, Star Trek was a big equalizer. If that makes, and a big equalizer in diversity. Whereas
yeah.
Star Wars showed young kids that, you know, they can be the hero of their own story. If that makes any sense.
And have a cool weapon and manipulate things with the Force and fly a cool ship.
Yeah, yeah. In Star Trek, you can literally beam anywhere. And fire phasers and stun people. Do the Vulcan neck pinch.
You know what? I was gonna make a counter argument, but I'll leave it at that.
I mean, you can make a counter argument. It's not gonna hurt my feelings. No, I love both fandoms. I do. I love Star Wars. We know this, and I love Star Trek. Like I can talk both. You know, I'm a huge. Not huge, but I'm a big sci-fi geek. So, not like, you know, Arthur C. Clarke and Robert A. Heinlein geek, but, you know, I can appreciate their works for what they have done for the sci-fi community.
Yeah.
So, and you know, both Star Wars and Star Trek, Star Wars did a lot for, like, movie making and stuff like that. And Star Trek has done a lot for the scientific community. You know, I mean, I don't know that we'd have all these medical advancements and all these technological advancements and stuff like that without Star Trek. And even Star Wars. Star Wars is the same thing, you know. I mean, they've already made a... real life proto saber. So
yeah,
you know, I mean, who knows in the future? Maybe we'll have something similar to a lightsaber of sorts. You know, I mean, it may not be an actual lightsaber, but maybe it'll be something like the, like the stun batons that we see in, I'm not talking about a replica. I'm talking about a real working lightsaber.
I digress.
It's at this point that I really wish we had video streaming right now, because that would have been absolutely perfect. I'm talking about real working lightsabers where the blade is encased in a, like a force field type thing. I mean, if we may, we might, you know, 100 years down the road, we might.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Not in my lifetime.
No, not in my lifetime. Definitely not. But, you know, who knows what the future holds? You know, they're already looking at, like, hyperdrive and warp engines and faster-than-light travel.
The Navy's looking at laser weapons and rail guns and countless other obnoxiously awesome weaponry, but we'll see.
Yeah.
I think we're closer to a Death Star than we are a lightsaber.
Which is scary. But yeah, I think we're closer to a phaser pistol than we are a lightsaber.
Yeah.
So,
Space Force will figure something out.
Yeah, if they stay branch long enough.
You never know.
I don't know. We'll see.
That's what we all said about the Air Force.
I mean, this is true, but the Air Force was useful in the time when it came out.
We could be fighting in space. You never know.
Yeah.
No, I actually learned something. This will probably go into how my week went, if you wanted to move on.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Absolutely.
So, my week, relatively exciting. Won't get into too many details, but I did the MEPS for the military. Swore in, did contracts, whoop-de-doo. Air Force, for those who are wondering, is the branch I chose. But while I was there, I met someone going into the Space Force for officer. Officer Space Force. I forget what the title was, but that's what it was. Controlling a bunch of satellites.
Hmm.
So I'm guessing like the Space Force won't be so much of a, you know, send astronauts into space with guns. It'll be a, you know, weaponry that we have in space, like send a satellite with missiles up in space sort of thing. If anybody's played Call of Duty Ghost, the Odin Project from that game, that's what I'm looking at whenever I think Space Force now. It's just, you know, satellites and rockets, stuff that, you know, Air Force doesn't have the budget for, but for some reason the Space Force does. But, yeah.
Kind of like a militarized version of NASA.
Yeah, basically. Which scares me, because anybody can join it. Anybody can be a part of a space program now, but that's your choice,
yeah,
I guess.
That doesn't mean that they're going to, like you said, it doesn't mean they're going to go up in space. I mean, they're going to have, you know, qualifications for people that can go up in space, because it's, you know, it'll be like a special forces unit of Space Force, you know, because not everybody can be a ranger and, you know, SEALs and, you know, pararescue and stuff like that. You have to be special, you know, you have to meet special physical and mental qualifications to be able to do that. And I think that's probably what they'll do if they start, if we start putting military people up in space to do things. It'll be, you know, it'll be people that are specially trained and stuff like that.
Yeah, and that training is going to be very difficult because they're going to have to train in zero gravity and, like, learn how to fire a gun in zero gravity. Those would probably be the – if we do end up doing some kind of special forces of the Space Force, and we like to make fun of them now, but those might just be the most elite of our branches because – they'll be fighting in conditions that you just can't replicate on the ground.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess we'll see how that goes. You know, before I went to MEPS, I was like, Space Force. I almost asked my recruiter if that was like a serious thing that people were doing. Yes, they are. People are very serious about the Space Force. But, whatever. That's their choice. I've made mine. Mine is very cool, but I guess theirs is cooler.
I mean, like you said, you know, we make fun of it now, but...
We made fun of the Air Force at first, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I mean, the Air Force was made fun of. We make fun of the Coast Guard all the time, so there's that.
And those are some of the toughest guys out there sometimes, you know? But
yeah.
Still, they need their floaties. But,
bunch of damn green water sailors.
Oh man, puddle pirates. That's my favorite one. Call them puddle pirates.
Oh Jesus. Oh. So not really a whole lot has gone on here this week. I'm trying to think of literally anything. Anything.
Yeah, my exciting stuff is coming up later on this summer. So
yeah. I've been working on the pool, getting that ready. Got in the pool the other day to clean it out. I mean, and it was fairly clear. It was just a little bit, you know, a little bit foggy. But it was mostly clear, and I got in and started stirring up a bunch of shit and stuff and, you know, scooping the leaves down because we can't cover the pool because it's too big. We don't have a pool cover for it. But scooping the leaves that settled. And as soon as I started doing that, man, it turned green again. I was pissed.
Yeah.
So I went through 3 filters in 24 hours trying to get it back to clear again.
Damn.
So, yeah, it's getting there. It's a work in progress. It's like this every year.
Yeah.
You know, it's like this every year.
Now that I'm getting older and decisions like where am I going to live, what house shall I buy, I'm going to be very anti-pool. I don't want to mess with the pool. I really don't.
Well, it's not bad. So the next house that we buy, I'm going to be looking at like an above-ground pool and stuff like that, something a lot sturdier than what we have.
On flat land?
Yeah, yeah. And like I will be able to like completely winterize it, for the off season, cover it up and stuff like that. Probably not drain it, but just cover it up, and just be able to do that. So
yeah, it sounds good. Yeah. I don't want to mess with the pool.
Man, I don't blame you. It's a pain in the butt, but I love swimming. I love getting in the pool.
Yeah, the people up at MEPS asked me, are you good at swimming? I was like, well, I can swim. I wouldn't say I'm particularly good, but I can swim. I got a kick out of that.
So,
very interesting experience at MEPS place.
It is definitely a whole new world that if you've never experienced it, it can throw you into a culture shock of sorts.
Yeah, it's a, without sounding disrespectful, of course, it's very boring,
mm-hmm.
Very tedious and very annoying. But, you know, by the end, it's not too bad.
Yeah,
I mean, there's gonna be worse places people go than a building in the middle of freaking Michigan, but you know, I don't got to go back there for a while.
This is true.
But yeah, that's
time,
how my week really went.
Yeah, cool. Again, not a whole lot going on here. Obi-Wan, the TV series from Disney Plus starts on Friday.
Yes, yes.
And of course, they've released a couple trailers and stuff like that. There's a new TV spot that includes a lot of the stuff we've seen on the trailers, but we get to see a little more of Darth Vader being put together in his back-to-tank and outside. And I noticed that in one of the TV spots, so in one of the trailers, we get to see Owen and Obi-Wan talking. And in that scene, in the TV spot, Owen actually calls Obi-Wan Ben. I think this is where we're going to see, you know, where he changed his name, why he changed his name, why it was just his first name, which is weird. Because the Empire is not going to connect Obi-Wan Kenobi and Ben Kenobi.
Apparently they didn't for
20 years.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to it. It should be interesting connecting episode 3 and 4. So we don't have a lot of media. Media out there for that. I mean, we've got Solo, Star Wars Story, and Rogue One, which were both just not great. But I'm hoping this will help connect 3 and 4 a lot better. Because there's a lot of time in there between 3 and 4. And there's 1,000 different stories that they can tell. So
yeah,
I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. I'm sad it's only going to be a mini series and not going to be like a continuation. Like only doing one season, but I can see why they would only do that.
They'll probably do branch off stories. We'll probably here in the next couple years there'll be an announcement of a Inquisitor show or. You know, something will branch off of this. I feel like Disney wouldn't put all this money into a show for it to just, you know, end.
Yeah. We're going to get an Ahsoka show, and that's obviously going to take place after episode 6. It's going to be in line with The Mandalorian. But I think, I don't know 100%, there are rumors that Ahsoka is going to show up in.
Maybe. I can see her showing up. I don't know if she'll show up in person, but showing up as, like, a hologram, or they'll mention, like, Fulcrum or something.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. I want more Star Wars stories, and while I love the movies, sometimes it's just hard to put information into one movie.
Yeah.
You know, they could have done Rogue One as a Disney Plus series. And I know that Disney Plus wasn't around really when wasn't around when Rogue One came out. But honestly, they could have done Rogue One and Solo both as a Star Wars Disney Plus series. And it would have been a lot better, in my opinion. It would have been a lot better, honestly.
Maybe. I guess we'll really never know. But I feel like Disney will start doing a lot of more of these miniseries and anthology stuff.
Yeah.
And I hope they do. You know, there's a lot of potential for Star Wars stories out there. They just gotta, you know, actually do it and not be so stubborn about it.
Yeah. Well, I know that we've got Andor coming out, which to me is just a pointless show because nobody cared about him. Like he wasn't big. We've got Acolyte coming out, which is going to be set during the time of the Republic, actually. Ahsoka's coming out, and there have been talks about 3 new movies set after The Rise of Skywalker that they're not a trilogy, they're standalone movies that really have nothing to do with the Skywalker saga. So we'll have to see how those play out.
Yeah, I really wish Disney would get somebody better to run their Star Wars stuff. Because as of now, I think it's still Kathleen Kennedy. But it's not hard. It's really not. Like, people have been asking for Old Republic stuff for 20 years now.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to see the High Republic stuff. I think the Acolyte set somewhere in between Old Republic, High Republic, that era. Nobody wants to see the High Republic, you know? nothing happened in that time. And the books that came out tried to show conflicts of what happened in the High Republic. Nothing. It's called A Thousand Years of Peace for a reason. Nothing happened in the galaxy for a thousand years. You know, unless it's like a Cold War, but kind of negates the prequels.
I would love to see, like, movies set in the Old Republic, kind of centered around Revan and Malak, kind of bring in some of that lore from Knights of the Old Republic.
They just did, like, a Revan saga, like they did the Skywalker saga. There's room for it. You can span hundreds of years.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Revan's cool like that. And you can bring in so many cool characters. Just take the Knights of the Old Republic games, make them movies, you know.
Or, if nothing else, make them... What they need to do is they need to do, like, an Old Republic animated series, like they did the Clone Wars.
Something Old Republic, like, goddamn. It's like we're asking and begging for it. Oh, here's some more in-between episode 3 and 4 stuff. Here's some more post-sequel stuff. Here's some more post-original trilogy. That the story, I feel like the stories that they can tell have already been told besides Mandalorian. Like, Mandalorian can keep pushing that Skywalker saga train. But other than that, after Kenobi, stop making in-between 3 and 4 stuff because we've already got Rebels, Solo, Rogue One, now this. We've got thousands of comics between 3 and 4. We don't really need much more 3 and 4 stuff. I would like to see some Old Republic.
Honestly, you know, I love Star Wars. But there's only so much you can do with the Skywalker saga. Like you're saying, I feel like pretty much every story has been told. You know, it's like they're beating a dead horse. They're draining their cash cow is what they're doing. Because Disney's Lucasfilm's cash cow was the Skywalker saga. And while that's awesome, I mean, it spanned 45 years. And we've got 11 movies out of it. 2-3 animated TV shows. And 2 live action shows with a third one coming and a fourth one in the works and a fifth one that's been announced. Like, let's not focus so much on the Skywalker saga. There's so much lore, so much going on with the Star Wars universe that the Skywalker saga honestly was literally just a blip on the radar. You know, it was a big time for the Republic. Yes, the Galactic Republic, the Galactic Empire, and the New Republic. I get it. You know, that was a major turning point in that history. But
what if I told you there was another turning point in the Star Wars history that was equal to, or even some may argue greater, than the Skywalkers and the era of the Grand Republic, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, the great Jedi Civil War.
Yep. There's just Emperor Vitiate and his Eternal Empire, Revan and Malak's fleet with the Star Forge, Darth Nihilus and Darth Treya. Oh my god, there's so many goddamn Darths that they could choose from. They could tell the story of Darth Bane and explain the Rule of Two. They could tell the story of Darth Malgus, like they're kind of doing in the game, but, you know, make it better. Make a movie. Tell the story of Bastila Shan and Sitila Shan. There's so much and they're not using it. And I won't go into why I think they're not using it on the show, because it's irrelevant, but it's just frustrating. Like if they want another cash cow to milk, boom, there you go. We're literally pointing at it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we don't even care if it's a cash cow because it's pretty healthy cow.
Yeah. I mean, we'll watch it. It's Star Wars. You know, I did not like the sequels at all. Will I continue to watch them? Of course I am. Why? Because it's part of the Star Wars saga. You know, I mean, I'm not going to stop watching them just because they're horrible movies. I'm going to sit through them and be like, oh my God, this is so terrible. But it's still part of the story. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they've literally touched the tip of the iceberg when it comes to Star Wars. They can invent their own stories within the Old Republic.
I'd rather them not, but...
No. You know, kind of like what they did with the sequel trilogy. They've got this core material that they can build off of, and that's what they need to do. So. Okay. So we're going to go ahead and take a quick little break. When we come back, in honor of Memorial Day, that is coming up this weekend, we are going to be talking about military movies, war movies, stuff like that, basically anything having to do with any of that. So we'll be back.
Behind the screen, we'll be right back.
Drifted down, it's just you and me. You cut me off and say you're tired of talking. It's not as if we can't agree, but you've lost your will to fight. You're packing up all your things.
I mean, we could have done the whole show on Star Wars, but I wanted to get to our topic.
These will be our last words. Then the chance will be lost. And I ain't too proud. If you loved me, you would hold me. If you love me, you would tell me. You never want me to be alone. If you cared at all, you would stop. Never go. But you just turn your back to me and said, I guess I'd
be working on.
Great.
Welcome back to Behind the Screen Radio Show.
And we're back. You can still join us. Call in 718-664-9735. Or hit us up on our live stream on Twitch at Wikicuriosity Media. All right, so Memorial Day is coming up in a couple days. It is next Monday. Before we get into our show, I do want to remind people that Memorial Day is a day to honor the fallen. It is a day for us to remember those that gave the ultimate price for, you know, the freedoms that we enjoy in the United States today. It's not a day to celebrate veterans. There's a day for that. It's called Veterans Day. Now, I'm not saying that you can't have your barbecues and your sales and, you know, all that. That's not what I'm saying at all. As a matter of fact, go for it. Do it. Celebrate Memorial Day. But just take a moment. Just a moment to, you know, reflect. That's all I got to say. Anyway, so tonight we're going to be talking about military movies, war movies, and stuff like that. And one of the first ones that came to my mind, Alex, when you suggested this, was Full Metal Jacket. Obviously. It's a Stanley Kubrick film. Stars Matthew Modine, Arlie Ermey, oh goodness, I don't know why I can't think of their names. Hold on, I'll be able to tell you. Vincent D'Onofrio, right? Yeah. Adam Baldwin, and it's such an impactful movie because, number one, it's set in the Vietnam era, and the first half of it is these recruits going through basic training at Paris Island to become Marines. And then the second half of it is them going over to Vietnam to fight in the war. And it's a brutal, in-your-face type movie. Before I went to boot camp back in, you know, 97, 96? Yeah, back in 96, holy crap. I'm too old for this. Right before I left, my brother sat me down and made me watch this movie. And I'll be honest, the boot camp scene scared the hell out of me. Like, I thought that's what I was in for. And, I mean, obviously it wasn't because things were different. But it's still one of my favorite Stanley Kubrick films, obviously. But also one of my favorite Vietnam movies, one of my favorite war movies, just because of the realistic nature of what these young kids actually went through over there. You know? Because it shows boot camp, and then right after that shows them getting shipped off to Vietnam, and it's just, I don't know, it's a good movie. It really is.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen it, Alex, but
okay. I've seen it.
Okay. I'll say if none of you have seen it, it needs to be on your list. If you're one for military movies, war movies, that should be the very first one that you watch. Honestly, that should be number one on your list to see. So
yeah, I would agree.
Plus, it's got some of the funniest lines in it.
Oh yeah,
you know. Is that you, John Wayne? Is this me? So, but.
Yeah. Another boot camp-ish movie that comes to mind is Major Payne. I love that movie. Such a good movie.
It's not a war movie. It is definitely a military movie. Yeah, I'll give you that one because, I mean, he is a real, almost along the same lines of, like, Renaissance Man with Danny DeVito. I don't know if you've seen that. Okay. Basically, it's about a guy that loses his job, is looking for a job, goes to the temp agency, and they're like, you know, hey, we've got this job for you. It's on a military base, and you're going to be a teacher to these soldiers that aren't exactly cutting it. You know, you're going to help them get smarter, essentially. And it's a comedy, obviously, but it's a good movie. It's not a bad movie. So I do want to preface this by saying, so if you don't know by now, if you haven't been listening, shame on you. But so I am a veteran. I'm a combat veteran. I served 24 years in the military, both Navy and Army, active and reserve. Just recently retired, a couple years ago. I am not a big modern war movie person. Like American Sniper, anything really having to deal with like the Afghan War, the Iraq War, not a big fan of. I don't know what it is. I just don't. I mean, so there's one that I've seen that I like, Lone Survivor. But most of the new ones I'm not crazy about. You know, Vietnam's kind of been played out in a lot of movies. World War II. There's still some good movies out there, and I think there's still some stories to be told. And I was very disappointed with the movie industry for not really focusing on like some of the other wars that we've got out there, the Korean War, and like World War I. Really, the only movie that I've seen having to deal with World War I is 1917.
There's someone about the Calvary. I can't remember the name of it, but it's a cavalry-based movie. I think it was set in World War I. I think it had Tom Hiddleston in it. I could be wrong, though.
But
I'll double-check that.
Yeah. So, I don't know if you've seen 1917, Alex.
Not yet. I've been wanting to watch it, though. There's nowhere I can. The movie's called Cavalry.
Okay.
It's not telling me the era.
1917 you have to rent.
Yeah. I'll watch it at some point.
Yeah. So 1917 is a World War One movie. It's about a basically about a courier.
Warhorse is what I was thinking of.
Okay. Yeah.
Produced by Steven Spielberg.
I've heard of that. I haven't seen it. So, but 1917. So it's about basically about a courier going from one side of the lines to the other to relay a message so that, you know, people don't get killed, obviously. But the cool thing about 1917 is that it's one continuous shot. The movie is one continuous shot. Of course, they broke it up over days, but like in most movies, you have like this story going on over here, then it cuts over here, then it cuts over here. 1917 doesn't have any cutscenes. It's a straight movie that, you know, it gets you more into the story. And immerses you into basically the hell that these guys went through during World War One. You know? So
yeah.
I mean it's a really good movie. It's definitely one that I recommend to anybody that likes war movies. Because it's very realistic. I don't want to say it's in your face. But it kind of is, and the way that
it doesn't hold back.
And the way that it was shot was just phenomenal. I have not seen a movie like that ever, because normally you have three different stories going on and you've got cut scenes and this and that and the other. And it was just one continuous shot.
Yeah. Was Dunkirk World War One or World War Two?
World War Two. It was set in 1940.
Okay. That's a good one. So, I really like Dunkirk.
I don't know that I've seen Dunkirk.
It's a pretty good movie. I think it's on HBO.
Yeah, on HBO and Netflix, I think.
But it's a good movie. It's got Christopher Nolan in it. Or not in it, but
directed it?
Directing it, yeah. It's got Tom Hardy, Cillian Murphy, Barry Keoghan, some other people I don't know. But yeah, it's about the Dunkirk, you know, civilian boats going over across the English Channel, picking up soldiers, while the pilot, Tom Hardy, is, you know, covering them, and it takes place. It's a typical Christopher Nolan film. It messes with time and stuff like that. Not like sci-fi, but like certain things take place at certain times, and then you got to connect the dots, and, you know, typical confusing Christopher Nolan film. But
yeah.
It was shot really well and directed very well. It was a good one. Kind of a sad movie.
I may have to watch it then.
Yeah.
So one of the biggest eras that filmmakers like to focus on, especially in the 80s, honestly, because it was still kind of fresh, is the Vietnam War. I mean, that was a big one. We've got movies like Apocalypse Now, Platoon, are two of the biggest ones, and those are absolutely phenomenal movies. I know that they are big movies. I mean, Francis Ford Coppola was believe he was the director of Apocalypse Now. I'm about to find out. Give me a second. Yeah. So Francis Ford Coppola did Apocalypse Now, and Oliver Stone did Platoon. Oliver Stone is, if you don't know these two names, you really don't know movies. They are two of the most influential directors of all time. And Platoon is one of the biggest movies, one of the biggest Vietnam War movies, and one of the most accurate. And it's got some of the biggest names in it. I mean, you've got Charlie Sheen, Tom Berenger, Willem Dafoe, Forrest Whitaker, Keith David, Johnny Depp, Kevin Dillon, all these people that are in this movie that give it such a raw, intense look at the war in Vietnam and what the soldiers went through. So, same thing with Apocalypse Now. They are gritty. They are in your face. They make no apologies for what they are. And yeah, they will shock you, which is what they're meant to do.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, they're really good. And then, you know, coming off the heels of that, we've got Rambo, which is not, Rambo, the first one, First Blood. Let's go with that. First Blood. Because Rambo and then Rambo 2 and Rambo 3, they were kind of over-exaggerated a little bit, you know. But First Blood is the story of a Vietnam veteran that, you know, has come back from the war, and he's homeless. He's a drifter, you know, just kind of walking through the town trying to get, you know, food wherever he can and stuff like that, just trying to, you know, trying to make his way. And John Rambo, played by Sylvester Stallone. And then you've got the cop, played by... oh man, I remember his last name. I can't remember his first name. Brian, that's what it is. Sorry, Brian Dennehy. Both, you know, big names back in the 80s. And Brian Dennehy plays the sheriff of the town and basically harasses John Rambo until he snaps. You know, it's such a perfect example of really the hatred that America had for their Vietnam veterans when they came back. Vietnam was one of those wars that America didn't agree with. The Vietnam veterans had such a hard time. When they came back, there was no parade. There was no, hey, welcome back. You guys did a good job. They were pretty much spat on, called baby killers, cussed at, had things thrown at them, basically ostracized from society for a long time. That's why people, you know, for a while were like, you know, no, I'm not a Vietnam veteran. You know, I don't want to be associated with that. And it wasn't, honestly, until here recently, within the past, I would say, 20 years, that Vietnam veterans have gotten the respect that they deserve. And that's kind of what this movie shows. This movie shows the lack of respect that the American people, especially small town, had four Vietnam veterans.
Yeah.
So, but it's an older movie, you know, came out in 82, but it's the story and the message behind the story are still very relevant. The hairstyles and the style of clothing and stuff like that obviously are from 1982, because that's when it was, that's the time period it was set in, early 80s. But it's a movie that has aged very well. It's a movie that I think a lot of, you know, a lot of kids need to see, you know, younger adults and stuff. Because I don't think anybody, number one, unless you're just a, you know, worthless piece of shit, should be treated like that, especially a veteran. You know what I mean? Because literally just told to do our jobs. Which can be an oxymoron, especially if, you know, shit goes down here in the United States. But that's a whole nother story in and of itself.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, you know, I love First Blood. And, yeah, I love the Rambo movies. I'm not going to lie. They were the typical 80s action film, you know, where the protagonist had an unlimited supply of ammo. You know, he put in the cheat code for God mode, and had unlimited ammo and could dual wheel the 240 Bravos. You know, and 249s. So and just sit there and shoot belt-fed, you know, automatic machine guns and to hold them with one hand.
You're throwing a whole lot of freedom out.
Freedom seats for everybody. But yeah, there, and, you know, there are newer, Vietnam movies. I mean, we look at like Tears of the Sun, and there's another one that I can't think of right now. Shoot, next time I'll do my research a lot better. I thought I had everything up that I needed. Give me a second, I can bring it up. We Were Soldiers. That was the one I was thinking of. We Were Soldiers with Mel Gibson and Tears of the Sun. That shed a different light on what happened over in Vietnam. But, you know. So.
Yeah.
Then we can't forget Good Morning Vietnam with Robin Williams. Which is just such an awesome, awesome movie. So there's a ton of them set during that time period. Born on the 4th of July, Hamburger Hill, Missing in Action. Yeah. So Vietnam was a big one. Flight of the Intruder was a big one for filmmakers, especially, you know, in the 80s and 90s. Because that's, you know, that was a big thing, I guess. But yeah, like I'm looking at all these movies set in Vietnam or during Vietnam. You know, I mean, hell, we've even got Forrest Gump. So, we're going to have to take a little break, maybe?
I had that reconnect.
Okay, let's see if you're back online. You there?
Hello?
Hello. Okay, cool. We had a minor little drop there. But we're back.
Wouldn't be a show if Blog Talk didn't kick off their site.
Oh, of course. Of course. I was just saying that back in the 80s and 90s, Vietnam was one of the big hot-button topics for Hollywood.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you look at Forrest Gump, that's set in that time period. Forrest Gump served in Vietnam.
One of the finest there was.
Yes, sir. Let's say Bubba and Lieutenant Man.
Mm-hmm.
So. But. All right, I'm going through some of these. So what are some of your favorites, Alex?
I like the World War II ones, like Hacksaw Ridge and, movies like that. I don't know. I was big into the more modern day war films, like Outpost and Sandcastle and American Sniper. I don't know. There's a lot of controversy behind American Sniper. Regardless, it's a good film. Lone Survivor's a good one. You got Black Hawk Down, Jarhead. You know, all great films.
So, like I said at the beginning, I'm not big into, modern war movies. For personal reasons, I refuse to watch American Sniper. I'm not going to go into it. Not on the show. But I refuse to watch American Sniper. I've seen bits and pieces of Black Hawk Down. Haven't seen the whole thing. I might watch it at some point. And I know this is, it's a weird thing coming from as big as a movie buff as I am. Because, Black Hawk Down is one of those movies that's like, oh my God, I need to watch it. But I don't know, there's something about the storyline that just really bothers me. Now I did watch Lone Survivor, I believe I watched it for a review on, when did it come out? I can tell you. Hold on. Okay. I think I reviewed it at one point on my other show. I didn't realize it came out in 2013. That's a long time ago.
Yeah.
But anyway, I did watch that, did review it on my other show. And the biggest thing for me is that it was based on Mark Farrell, Navy SEAL, who went out on a mission with, his team, and he was literally the only survivor, and it was his story of how he survived. One of the biggest things that I appreciated about the movie was the fact that number one, it was based on the book that Marcus Luttrell wrote. And he was part of he was like a consultant on the filming.
Yeah.
So, and he was also in another movie, Range 15, with a bunch of other veterans. That's just fucking hilarious. But I don't know. I liked Lone Survivor. I like Mark Wahlberg. I love how he played the character. I love the realism that they put into the movie. Because when you look at some of these other, like, biographical movies, I just had the name of it. God damn it. Hold on. I'll be able to tell you. Men of Honor. Sorry. When we look at the movie, like, Men of Honor, who was about the first black diver for the Navy, that movie was so over-exaggerated that it was unbelievable. And, I mean, Cuba Gooding Jr. did really well. Why is this not? But it was just really, really over-exaggerated in some parts. And, you know, I met Master Chief Bashir. Your mom actually has an autograph from him. But I met Master Chief Bashir. Sorry to say it, he was kind of a dick.
I wasn't going to mention it, but I've heard the same from other sources.
He was kind of... He was a pseudo-celebrity that had a celebrity frame of mind, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
You know, and I've seen interviews and stuff with Marcus Luttrell, and he's just like, I was just a person that wrote a book. You know, I did my job and I wrote a book. You know, it's no big deal. You know, and I've interviewed two other cast members that were on Range 15 on my other show. Interviewed two other cast members who are military veterans, and they say he was just another guy. You know what I mean? Like, he was just...
Yeah.
Another one of them, you know. It wasn't, you know, I mean, they poked fun at him a little bit in the movie, but he wasn't like, oh, you know, I'm a big star, I'm this famous person, you know, I'm a celebrity, you know, you've got to bow down to who I am. He was just like, no, I'm just a guy that did a job, wrote a book, and had a movie made. No big deal. So... I don't know. It's hard when, like, you have some of these biographical movies and you paint these military members, veterans and stuff like that in this fight, and then they come back and they're like, you know, when you go to meet them and stuff, they're completely, like, assholes. I mean, I can understand being standoffish and being like, hey, you know, I don't want all this attention, but... When you're standing there and you're like, give me this attention because I deserve it. Like, no, I'm not going to give you what you want. You know what I mean? And that goes with any celebrity, not just, you know, military. And I'm not trying to bash veterans in any way, shape, or form. But when it comes right down to it, with any celebrity, I mean, sorry, you're not that special. You know, you get paid millions of dollars to entertain people. That's great. But besides that, I could really care less. You know, I'm not going to...
Congratulations.
You.
You make more money than I do.
Right? You make more money than I do, you know, acting out a role. Great. I'm happy for you. Come down to the real world now. Anyway, I kind of got off on a little tangent there. I apologize.
Yeah, it's all right.
It's what I do.
Yeah, we got, you know, films like Zero Dark Thirty. You know, about the guys who, the SEAL Team 6 fellas who killed America's greatest enemy.
One of America's greatest enemies, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't seen that, not because of any personal reasons, just because it's not, you know, right there in my line of sight for those types of movies. So
I haven't seen it either.
But I've heard it's a good movie. I have heard it's a good movie.
13 Hours, I think it was, or is it called
13th Hour?
Something like that, about the Benghazi incident.
Yeah. I believe, let's see.
It's got John Krasinski in it.
I'm looking. I don't see 13th Hour. Let me, hold on.
Yeah, 13 Hours, The Secret Soldiers of Benghazi.
Okay. I haven't seen that movie yet either.
I haven't seen it, but I've heard good things about it.
Okay. So, going back and looking at World War II movies, I mean, there's not as many as I honestly not as many as I thought there were. But we had mentioned one, Dunkirk was one of them. Fury is another one. I'm very ashamed to say that I have not seen this movie.
I haven't either, but I've heard nothing but good things about it.
Me too. You know, at some point, I mean, it's free on Tubi. So I will probably go watch it at some point, just because of the things that I've heard about it. We've got Flags of Our Fathers, The Monuments Men, which is not a movie that I've seen, but I've heard that it's, you know, it's good. It's funny. And then we look at Pearl Harbor, which is a very long movie. It's a 3-hour-long movie. It's got Ben Affleck and Liv Tyler in it. It's about basically the Battle of Midway and on. You know, it starts with not the Battle of Midway. I'm sorry. Wow, I was thinking of the movie Midway. Basically, the bombing of Pearl Harbor and the repercussions after that and, you know, our response to that. If you take out the love triangle that's in there, because that's basically what the movie's focused on, these two pilots that are in love with the same girl, and, you know, that's the main focus of the movie, is this whole love story behind it. And a lot of people are going to say, oh, that's just an underlying theme of the movie. No, that's the main focus of the movie, which made the movie crap, which just further enhanced my dislike of Ben Affleck as a main character up until, you know, he played Batman. But it could have been a way better movie. It really could have.
Pearl Harbor came out 21 years to this day.
Really?
Yeah, it came out May 25th of 2001.
Josh Hartnett was the other one. And was it Liv Tyler? It was not Liv Tyler. I correct myself. It was Kate Beckinsale. Cuba Gooding Jr. was in it. John Voight, Jennifer Garner. I mean, it had some pretty good, some pretty big names in it. But it could have been, it could have been better. It really could have. If they would have focused less on the romance of the movie and more on, you know, the historical facts and the war and stuff like that, it would have been better. It honestly would have been better.
Yeah.
So, I didn't see Midway that came out a couple years ago. And I really didn't want to see Midway because of Pearl Harbor. Like, I didn't want the same, I didn't want the same type of movie, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought Midway and Dunkirk were the same movies because I think the trailers came out at a similar time. I could be wrong, but I saw a trailer for one of them, and then later on, I saw a trailer for another one. I was like, that's the same movie. Like, I thought they were working on one or the other for, like, the longest time.
Yeah. And Midway may be a better movie than what I'm giving credit, giving it credit for. You know? Where can I watch it? Oh. No. I'll have to rent it to watch it. But, I mean, it may not be a bad movie. You know, as long as there's not, like, a whole lot of, as long as it's nothing like Pearl Harbor, I'll be okay with it, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it might be, it might be okay. It might be okay. So I'll have to watch it. So why are you not coming up? Oh,
okay. Any other World War II movies?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm trying to get this brought up right now on this page. So the best World War II movie that I have seen, and I, again, I haven't seen Midway or Fury, and I could be, you know, I could change my mind, doubt it, because I absolutely love Quentin Tarantino. Is, I mean, we've got to talk about Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, it has to be, it has to be said. Number one, it's a Quentin Tarantino film. So, you know, there's that. And so, Inglourious Basterds is set during World War II, obviously. And it's about a specialized group of soldiers that go in behind enemy lines and basically kill Nazis. That's their entire job. And then you have the story of Shoshana, who was a Jewish refugee from, you know, fleeing Germany, or I don't remember if she was fleeing Germany or Poland. I think Germany. She made her way to France, changed her name, and opened up a movie theater. And, you know, basically was trying to, you know, survive the war. And it is just, for me, it is such, so it's got comedy moments, of course, because, I mean, it's Quentin Tarantino, but it is a typical Quentin Tarantino movie. It really is. You've got your comedy, you've got your action, you've got your moments that just make you go, what the fuck? And while it's not a... historically accurate movie, it very well could be, you know. It's so, because it embeds itself and uses so many historical facts, excuse me, you could very well believe that there was a group called the Bastards, called the Inglorious Bastards.
Yeah, it was a good film, good movie. You know, there's not a whole lot that I mean, if you really wanted to nitpick it, you could, but overall, it's a good movie. I would say, like, the only thing I wasn't a huge fan of was the almost the ending, like when they blew up the theater and killed Hitler. I thought that was just a bit cartoonish.
I agree. But it's typical Quentin Tarantino style.
Yeah, I just thought it was a bit. It took me out of the movie. Because, you know, most of it was, you know, semi-believable, or it was just funny, or it was, you know, but the Hitler death scene was just kind of like, eh, it's a bit too, not too far, but didn't really need to happen. And it was, the way it was executed was just cartoonish and kind of meh. It just took me out of the movie for a minute. But, I mean, other than that, the build-up to it, when she was fighting the Nazi in the projector room,
mm-hmm.
To them acting like Italians, to them getting captured by Christopher Waltz's character, and then them making the deal, and then taking him out to the woods. Like, well, yeah, we'll keep you alive. But...
You're gonna always know.
I reckon you're gonna take that Nazi uniform off when you get to the States. Well, yeah. No, we can't have that. And just carves a swastika in his forehead.
And that's one of the spectacular things about this movie is that it's a I don't give a fuck movie. You know. I mean, you had Eli Roth playing the Jew Bear, basically. Donnie Donowitz, who comes out of the tunnel banging the bat, you know, through the whole tunnel, and the crap out of a Nazi right in front of the other guy, you know. See where your guys are. No. Boom. Okay. Yep. They're right here.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't know. It was just a funny scene. And Brad Pitt did really well in this movie.
He did.
Him and I think his name's BJ Novak, kind of like his right-hand man person. Eli Roth did good.
Daniel Brühl, Diane Kruger, Christopher Waltz. Yeah, just all not really big names. You know, I mean, you don't see them up on the marquee except for Brad Pitt and Eli Roth. I mean, those are big names. But these are names that, you know, you and I know within, you know, movies and TV shows and stuff like that. These are recognizable faces.
Yeah.
You know, you've seen Christopher Waltz in a couple different things, but you don't know his name. You know, same thing with, like, Michael Fassbender. We know who Michael Fassbender is, but not a lot of people know the name. You know, same thing with, like, BJ Novak and, you know, Julia Dreyfus. Mike Myers was even in there. But it was, and it was a tense movie. You know, there were some anxiety moments, you know, like right there at the beginning when, the, you know, Colonel Hans, Landa, whatever you want to call him, was hunting the Jews and shot him through the floorboards, you know, of the guy that was keeping them hidden.
Yeah.
So... I don't know. It's one of those movies that you need to see, and I agree with you. The ending was a bit odd because that's not how Hitler died historically. But it does give a good ending to the movie, and it does give a good completion to the mission that the bastards were on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a perfect ending for them. And for the movie, it's just kind of historically inaccurate, and it does kind of take you out of the movie a little bit. I can agree with that.
Yeah.
So, but, so one war movie that we would be remiss if we didn't talk about is 300, the Battle of Thermopylae.
Yes.
Spartans up against the Persian Empire. Now, inarguably, this movie is very much historically inaccurate. Obviously, mainly because it's based on a graphic novel done by Frank Miller. And it's an exaggerated tale of the story of the 300 Spartans who held off the Persian Empire. But it is probably one of the best war movies that I've seen.
Yeah, for I guess that style, like sword and shield, you know, type of war movie. I like it. I like it.
Sounded like a trade horn.
Yep. But yeah, for that style movie, it was entertaining. And whether it's, you know, historical accuracy is relevant or not, it's, you know, basically based off legend, and there's been countless movies based off legends and tales, and, you know, it doesn't really affect history at all. But I like it. I like it. It was a good visualization of what could have been or what could have transpired during that time.
Yeah. And it shows the, number one, the strength of the Spartans, because they were such a, they were a very strong society. You know, they were built on war. And their whole society was built around fighting and war and protecting themselves and, you know, conquering and stuff like that. And it was a very good representation of that. You know, especially when they're at Thermopylae, and you have the other people come. I don't know what to exactly call them.
I think they were just like volunteer clans mercenaries, just a bunch of people who got together and heard Sparta was fighting the Persians, and then they're like, "Oh, we could join the Spartans," and then the Spartans like, "Yeah, you can't."
Yeah, yeah. No, when you had I can't remember his name. It'll come to me. But the lead Spartan.
Gerald Butler.
Yeah, but his character.
Leonidas.
That's it. Yeah. When you had Leonidas, you know, go up to the other warriors are like, "Hey, what's your profession?" You know, "Oh, I'm a butcher," you know, "I'm a blacksmith," you know, "I'm this, I'm that." And then he turns to Spartans and, you know, "Spartans, what is your profession?" And the, you know, and they go, you know, they do their whole yelling thing. Because Spartans, I mean, and they were legendary in their time for their ruthlessness, you know, because they were warriors through and through, you know?
Yeah.
If you weren't strong enough to be a Spartan, you were cast out, which is sad. You know, I mean, we saw that with the deformed child that was born and cast out, but that lived, you know, and he wanted to be part of the Spartans and, you know, got rejected and that whole story. But they were a very strong society. And I think their arrogance was their downfall, because the Persians eventually did conquer them. So. I can't hear you. I think we may have lost sound.
No, it disconnected me again.
Oh. Having a little bit of technical difficulties. We're working on it now. So bear with us a little bit, so that we can get back up and running. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. Should be good to go, connected by now. I apologize for all of the technical difficulties that we are having. I'd like to blame it on Blog Talk, because that's what I usually do, so I'm going to do that. So yeah, we're just going to blame it on Blog Talk, as we always do. Anyway, so before we had our technical difficulties, we were talking about 300. And Alex was trying to say something. I don't remember. I don't know if he remembers or.
Not really. I was just, I think I started talking about the sequel.
Which was crap.
Yeah, I mean, it had some cool boat scenes, but it just wasn't good as the first one.
It didn't live up to it at all.
No.
So.
But anyway, another movie from that period of time that I happen to like and enjoy a lot is Troy with Brad Pitt.
Okay.
It tells the story of Achilles. Shows how great of a warrior he is. And, you know, he kills a bunch of people. And then somebody, he ends up retiring halfway through the battle or whatever, or he just doesn't want to fight anymore, or he's preoccupied doing something midway through their battle, and then somebody dies in his place trying to impersonate him, and then he kills king or whoever of whatever. But yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, good film. I enjoyed it.
So one that we haven't talked about, especially when we were talking about World War II movies, is Saving Private Ryan, which is loosely based on actual events. It's basically about so back in World War II, all the way up until Vietnam. I'm not sure if they have this rule now. But the military had this rule that, like in World War II, because there was a draft, obviously. So if all of the men of one family, they couldn't serve together. But if there, say, like there was three brothers and two of them were killed in action, one was taken out of action and sent back. So that basically they can preserve the family line and keep the family line going. And that's what this whole movie is about. Private Ryan, played by, what did I just forget the name?
Matt Damon?
Yes, yeah. I'm having a hard time with the names tonight. And Tom Hanks is the lieutenant. But Private Ryan, played by Matt Damon, is the only surviving brother of the surviving son of this family, and Tom Hanks' mission is to go and save him, to ship him back, you know, so that he can carry on the family line. I will say that, again, it is one of the most brutal World War II movies out there. It starts off with D-Day and, you know, gets you right into that, gets you right into the mix. There were World War II veterans. When this came out, there were World War II veterans who were at D-Day that watched the movie and said that it was one of the most accurate depictions that they've ever seen. You know, I mean, it was, if you don't know what D-Day is, it is the storming of Omaha Beach in France by the Allies, which was a big point in World War II. It allowed Allies to move into France to basically rescue France from Nazi Germany and move in and ended the war. But it was one of the most controversial operations at the time. You know, so many soldiers died. So many people died because of the position. You know, the Nazis had the high ground. They had bunkers. They had automatic machine guns. And as soon as Allied boats started landing, they started unloading. I mean, it was intense, but it showed the resolve of the Allies, and, you know, I mean, like I said, it was one of the big turning points in World War II, but it was very brutal and just very action-packed, and so much going on in that scene that you can watch it five times and you'll see something new every time.
Yeah.
So, but it is a good movie. It really is. It shows the impact of the war and stuff like that. And I mean, it's a good movie. So, there's a bunch that we haven't touched on yet. Schindler's List is one of those. It's another World War II movie. It's basically about the concentration camps. We look at Braveheart, which was a Mel Gibson movie starring Mel Gibson that basically talks about it showcases the fight for independence of Scotland from Britain, from England. And it's a good movie. It's brutal, obviously, but it's a good movie. We have The Patriot, which was also another Mel Gibson film that was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
We have The Hurt Locker, which was a good movie. It's about EOD specialist basically disarming IEDs in Iraq lines. One we didn't touch on that was one of my favorites as a kid was Iron Eagle. It's one of those feel good 80s movies. It's about a kid basically going to go save his father in a POW camp. Really heavy focused on the Air Force and on the F-16. The kid basically learns how to fly the F-16. He goes with another Air Force pilot against, you know, the rules and whatever. They go rescue his dad and, you know, bring him home. It's a good movie. It's a good typical 80s movie, came out after Top Gun. It was the Air Force's.
Speaking of Top Gun, Top Gun.
Yeah,
it's a great
one. Got to talk about a Top Gun. It's a great one. Maverick comes out Friday. I'm kind of upset with myself. I'm not going to be able to go watch it tomorrow when it hits theaters
either.
Here.
No, I have to wait a little bit for this one, but.
Yeah, I'm going to have to wait a little bit for this one. But I do still want to go see it. I'll still go see it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So, and I want to go see it in the theaters because it's one of those that you have to go see in theaters.
Yeah.
So, G.I. Jane, we didn't talk about.
G.I. Jane 2?
Sorry. Oh, God. No, I'm not going to go there. Not going to go there. Three Kings, which was a decent one. Memphis Belle, which talks about... So Memphis Belle is about the bombing of Hiroshima. Memphis Belle was the name of the airplane, I believe. If I'm not mistaken. Let me...
That one amazing John Cena film simply called Marine.
Yeah. So it wasn't the one, Okay, it's basically just a plane that completed over 25 missions in Europe, or 25 missions. So it wasn't the one that dropped the bomb. They basically fucked up Germany.
Mm.
So still a decent movie. Crimson Tide, The Hunt for Red October, those are all military movies. Flight of the Intruder, we mentioned. Last of the Mohicans is a good one. One we have to talk about real quick because we're... we're down to the last 3 minutes of our show. Just want to mention real quick, Red Dawn, the original, because the remake is crap. It is basically what would happen if Russia invaded America. And, of course, the Americans
Which
win.
Would never happen.
No. Nobody's setting foot over here because we'll fuck them up. I'm not even talking about our military. Heavily armed civilian population in the world. Like, you can't fuck with us. Anyway, we're down to the last 3 minutes of our show. Again, I want to apologize for all of the technical difficulties. Really wasn't our fault, but I still want to apologize. I do want to say thank you to my host, Alex, for joining me tonight.
Yeah. Good show.
Really good show. I want to thank all of our listeners, supporters, and followers. We greatly appreciate you guys. I do want to say, support your veterans, fire, police, and EMS. Remember that, Memorial Day is just that, is a day to remember the fallen veterans that have given their lives for your freedom. Enjoy the day. Have fun. Absolutely. Just take a second out of there to, remember them. And as always, especially this weekend, be safe, be smart. We want you back here every night that we broadcast on Wicked Curiosity Media. This Sunday for Movie of the Week, we're going to be reviewing the Netflix movie The Bubble. Came out in 2022. It's a comedy, so we are going to be reviewing that. So join us every Sunday night for Movie of the Week, every Tuesday night from Falling from Grace podcast, which is still currently on hiatus, every Wednesday night for The Cinephiles, every Friday night for Note by Note. Again, we love you guys. We appreciate you. Get the word out.
Yep.
We love listeners. So, anyway, fantastic rest of your Wednesday night. Have a fantastic rest of your week. And we'll see you back here on Sunday for Behind the Screen.
Good night, everybody.
Have a good night.